Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. A little bit of Van Halen bringing us back. It's always a pleasure to continue to be with you every day, Monday through Friday, helping you celebrate your small business, letting you help me celebrate my small business. And today, yesterday and today, actually, I've been helping some other folks celebrate small business. The Association of Small Business Development Centers, a great organization who does a great job of helping small business owners. There are like 5,000 or 6,000 of these counselors all across the country. They do wonderful work. The work that they do for you, available to you, is free. I hope you're taking advantage of them. And we're going to be giving the website out just a little bit later. Well, I'll tell you what, let me go ahead and do that right now. ASBDC-US.org. ASBDC-US.org. And click on the map on your state or type in your zip code, and you can find a nearby Small Business Development Center counselor. And somebody who I think agrees with me about what I just said is my new friend and your new friend, Stephen Hall. Stephen is the president and of Specialty Food Resource. His website is specialtyfoodresource.com. He's the author of From Kitchen to Market. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. My audience has heard me conduct programming on food small businesses. I've been around these folks for quite a long time, and there's a growing interest in people having a recipe for salsa, having a recipe for barbecue sauce, whatever. There's a growing interest in that, and the infrastructure is starting to support that a little bit more, isn't it?
It is. There are about 2,000, maybe 3,000 new specialty gourmet food products introduced to this market every year.
Wow.
And there's about a 96% failure rate for the first 3 years.
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's tough. It's higher than regular, a typical business. It's not unlike a restaurant failure rate, isn't it?
That and
what is it? What is it about food?
People think it's easy because it's, you know, there's no rocket science required.
So I like to cook, so therefore I must be a good business owner.
Yes.
A food business owner. I like to make people happy, therefore I must be a good restaurant. I'll make a good restaurateur, or whatever, right?
And I know it's good, so it's got to sell.
That's right.
Gotta eat the plan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's just not the case. Right. It's nothing could be further. And that's a very dangerous and financially fatal attitude, isn't it?
Show you the scars.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you can. So what's your advice for folks?
Well, it's totally a little term. I'm trying to speak English here. That says if you fail to plan, it's to plan to fail. And that's really it. It's planning no matter whether you're in the food industry or in retail or religious articles or whatever.
What would it not be appropriate to, when somebody has the idea to do something like this, to be a food entrepreneur? I guess that's a good term.
Yes.
To become a food entrepreneur, whether it's a restaurant or making cheese straws or whatever it might be, to say, okay, just take a deep breath, don't get excited, take a step back, and don't rush into this thing. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And then wait 6 months and do it again.
Try to stay away as long as you can.
Yes.
And if you're not just pulled back with an incredible sense of gravity, you probably made the right decision not to do this.
Get the information. Yes,
yeah.
Right.
So what is that information? What information do we need?
Well, we publish a monthly e-zine called Food Entrepreneur E-Zine, which is by food entrepreneurs for food entrepreneurs. It's free. It's available at our website, speciallyfoodresource.com. Mm-hmm. But the information primarily is what customer need are you meeting. It's a very internally focused industry. We're looking at ourselves, we think, because it's a good product, anybody will want it.
Right.
And it's not really the case. And understand cost, understand your cost accounting, I guess, is what it is, primarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people who serve, somebody who has a diner has to know exactly how many quarter of a penny his French fries cost, or her French fries cost, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not enough to say my French fries cost me a nickel if the French fries cost you a nickel and a 0.25.
Correct.
You got to be that close, don't you?
Yes, right.
On payroll, everything. The margins for food are small, aren't they?
In the specialty food industry, the margins are longer than they are in the grocery trade.
Right, of course. Mm-hmm.
But the issue is primarily the fact that most of the people who are creative, innovative, they're lovers, they're poets, they're not scientists, they're not mathematicians, and so they don't want to have to play with that numbers game.
That's right. That's homework,
isn't it? I'm creating. Yeah, someone else do that. And they've got to realize they've got to wear all those hats at once.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, it's... to me, having a business of any kind is like, you know, loving babies. Yeah. We all love babies. But let's talk about some of the specific things that a food entrepreneur needs to know.
Well, an awful lot of them have to do with understanding the nature of some odd things like regulations in terms of food.
Yeah.
Food handling, food
processing,
biggie, isn't
it?
And labeling.
Yeah.
The nutritional statements.
Because you can kill people.
You can. Yeah.
You can make them sick.
That's right.
In fact, I saw this week somewhere in America, 300 people were sickened and 2 people died as a result of being poisoned, basically, with some restaurant.
Right. So there's a big leap there in terms of risk-taking. An awful lot of people avoid the idea of taking the liability insurance because it costs so much. So they're hanging out, as they
right.
say in New York.
Right, exactly. And so what do you do about that?
You have to close your eyes and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And not be ignoring it. Don't be aware of the fact that if you're dealing with a fish or a meat or something or
right.
a soup, that you've got
right.
really big trouble there. So most especially foods coming out are dealing with confections, for example, salsas, condiments, and so
right.
forth. A lot easier to do, and oftentimes really not any kind of problem for people to consume.
What about, you know, I don't like to rain on people's parades, but part of my job is to explain to people that this is not easy. Not let them have any false, you know, Pollyanna expectations, because there aren't any. Pollyanna was not a small business owner, and when she became a small business owner, she stopped being Pollyanna, and so, you know, to let them know that they've got to be realistic about this, and maybe without throwing cold water on them, make sure their expectations are not too high off the ground. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, on the one hand, it's a $41 billion industry,
yeah.
so there's an awful lot of attraction there. But on the other hand, the realities of any kind of business have to be looked at.
Yeah.
And you can, to some degree, the book, From Kitchen to Market, which is in its fourth edition now,
congratulations,
to be published in November again in its fifth edition by Kaplan Publishing, and it's going to be called Sell Your Specialty Food. It changed the name for some reason.
Right.
It has all the basics in there about the industry, pricing, packaging, you know, that are particular to the industry.
Right.
That they can buy it or they get it at the library.
Hold on to that thought. When we come back, I want you to help us understand how to go about getting the food processed, because we can't cook it in our own kitchen. You can't go in, probably. We'll let Stephen answer that question. Stephen Hall is our guest. He's the president of Specialty Food Resource, the author of From Kitchen to Market. He and I will be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for continuing to be with me as I continue to broadcast live from Chicago, Illinois, at the Association of Small Business Development Centers at their annual conference. We've done this now for several years. Always glad to support these outstanding individuals. And I want to remind you folks, check out asbdc-us.org. And you can find out where there's a small business development center near you. My own websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Stephen Hall is our guest. He's the president and founder of Specialty Food Resource. And put a .com on the end of that, and that's the website, isn't it?
Sir.
Specialty Food Resource. Stephen, you're going to speak later today, aren't you?
I am, yes.
At this conference. What are you going to tell them?
All about specialty food marketing. We do the whole thing. And whatever the audience wants to hear, we talk about how pricing works, packaging, labeling, promotion, distribution, trade shows, which are unique.
You mean it's not just about making the food?
And there's no sex.
Hey, Stephen, I do the jokes here.
Okay, right.
This is my show. I do the jokes here.
Not about production, but we do talk right. about the prudence that one has to take in terms of producing food. And it really depends on the product. If you're producing a dip mix or
right.
confection or so forth, you can do that at home, or salsa.
Really?
But if you're dealing with, they call it cottage industries.
I know, but I'm going to have to, look, I've, You know, I've been involved in a bed and breakfast before, and, you know, the health department scrutinizes homemade stuff.
They have only so many police.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
there are 2,000 or 3,000 new specialty food products introduced each year.
So I could actually prepare my salsa or my barbecue sauce or whatever in my kitchen.
Yes, up to a point.
What's that point?
Well, the point is a matter of size, really, more than anything else. Yeah. The volume gets to the point you're outstripping your capability.
But it's not a matter of the health department or...
It depends on the state, and it depends on what's in it, what the contents are.
How does the contents...
Well, obviously, anything with meat or fish or game, so forth.
Right. Then as long as it's vegetable-based, it's a lot less scrutiny.
Yes.
Is that right?
Because you're not likely to get any of the diseases associated with that.
Right,
Exactly.
Of course, you've got other... But still... Don't you still have to have... Doesn't the health department still come out if they know about you?
You're supposed to have a kitchen separate from your home kitchen that meets the requirements. You're supposed to, but the reality is it just doesn't work, particularly, for example, if you're doing confection, like brownies. The woman who has a successful brownie business can do it right out of her back yard, practically.
Mm-hmm.
But to be prudent,
it's not much different from catering at that point.
No, exactly, yeah. But the point, I think the theme here is exercise care. Don't just run into it blind.
Yeah.
Understand the rules. Yeah. Know the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 21, so forth.
Right. And so how would, of course, when we find out, going to your website, you can help them with that, right?
Yes.
And the book, too.
Yes.
Where's the book available?
Anywhere.
Okay.
Libraries,
Amazon.com. Okay. And the newsletter, you got a newsletter?
That monthly e-zine that goes out.
Is it free?
2,000. It's free. Just
all right,
go to the resource, specialtyfoodresource.com, sign up for it, and you can get it.
Specialtyfoodresource.com. Folks, if you're interested, if you know somebody who is, you might want to pass that along to them. Okay, so let's say that we got the food thing covered, we made the production, we got products in a bag now.
Right.
Now that we're all dressed up, what do we do with it?
Well, one of the best things is to go to one of the fancy food shows. There are two major shows.
Go to a show.
San Francisco in January, New York in June, July period. And just actually walk the show is an enormously important and great way of gathering intelligence.
You start seeing other ideas that you can kind of borrow maybe. Yeah. But you also can see how busy the space is.
Yes.
There's a lot of, you know, you talked about how many billion-dollar size this industry is. Which puts, you know, dollar signs in your eyes until you realize there's somebody already filling those spaces.
That's true, but then it's all a matter of how you differentiate your product. So it's the same in any kind of industry. How do you position it? If you've got that sort of process that makes it unique, you're okay.
Do you know people who are making a living or a reasonable amount of a business, their revenue, selling specialty foods online?
Yes, that's growing all the time.
Not trying to break through the supermarkets and our Walmart, which is not easy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And that's about a $1 billion industry. But the problem is people still don't want to buy food by mail, which is what this is.
Yeah.
Untested. They'll rebuy. If they go to New York and they live in Bozeman, Montana, they say, I can now buy that going back to New York.
See, we've done that. We've been traveling. We found something that we liked.
Right.
At a store, maybe the place that was the people who made it.
Yes.
And then we'd get their card or their brochure, and then we'd order from them again afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about going to the local supermarket? Maybe not the big chain, but a locally owned supermarket, and try to break in there.
Easily 70% of all specialty food sales, that $41 billion market, come from supermarket sales. Yeah. So the supermarkets and grocery stores now are playing a much more important part in the sale of specialty food, so-called specialty gourmet foods.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on marketing the business?
Plan. Don't lose your sense of humor. Develop a vision. Understand what the visioning process is about. Where's your dream? Clearly articulate it. Develop the strategic framework that you need to be able to be successful.
And even though I know people want to, you know, you wouldn't do it if you weren't excited and passionate and imagining the possibilities. You gotta be realistic about expectations, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to, as we say, don't want to throw a blanket on them, but. But you just have to make sure that you don't get so caught up that whenever one of these realities hits you in the face, it doesn't just take you down.
You have to be adaptive and flexible and innovative. If you have the best food in the product this year by a panel of judges, next year people are going to come by your booth and say, what's new?
And you're no longer a cook at this point. You're a business owner.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for being here, Stephen.
My pleasure.
The website, folks, is specialtyfoodresource.com. Stephen Hall is our guest. Good job. We'll see you next time. Quick break, right back with Peter Justin right after these messages. Stay with us.
You only live twice, do it or die.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.